There is no handout sheet. The reason is, when we got up here this afternoon and my plan was to get all that ready and printed out for you, my computer is updating. Don't you hate that? It has been updating since 5 o'clock this afternoon, and it's still updating. I don't know what in the world has gone on. I was going to accuse it of Y2K, but that was a long time ago. So I don't know. I was going to print out to you an outline, but what we're going to do tonight, you really don't need the outline. You can take some notes on the back of your prayer list. I want you to find the book of James tonight, the book of James. And beginning tonight, we're going to do something that I haven't done in quite a while. I've done many of these in my nearly 16 years here. And our Wednesday night studies beginning tonight, we're going to be studying the book of James. We're going to do a book study. Haven't done that in a while. I think the last one we may have done was Ruth. We might have done another one. But it's been a while since we've done a book verse-by-verse study. And so what I'll be doing for you, you'll be having, I got a nice handout, so it is. But you'll get it next week. And it'll give you some outlines and some notes and places for you to take notes for you tonight. We'll just get into the beginning part of this. And I want to read just a little bit of the first part of this, and kind of give you a feel of the book of James. Then I'll get into some information to help you get started. And as we study it together for these next few Wednesday nights, this is a book that I've never taught through verse by verse. I've preached many sermons from the book of James, of course, but I've never done a verse by verse study of this book. So this is new for me, and I'm looking forward to it. Been praying about what we would do next. And So if you found James, book of James, Hebrews, then James, comes right after Hebrews, you can stand as we honor God's Word. Of course, we're going to start in chapter 1, verse 1. Good place to start, don't you think? And then we'll get into it. Begins with an introduction here. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he should receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass, he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. We'll stop right there and ask the Lord to help us as we begin our studies together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that you are the all-time, undisputed, undefeated champion of love. Thank you tonight that we can come before you in whatever need and whatever problem we have. We know you're capable of handling it. I pray, Lord, tonight as we begin our study together on Wednesday nights through the book of James. I pray you give us wisdom and understanding. Lord, there may be something here that we need in our lives. I'm not sure what it may be for each of us. Lord, I pray that it be something for me tonight and something for them. And Lord, I just pray that you'll give us a better appreciation of this wonderful book and help us to understand, Lord, that you are always at work in our lives. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. There are more than one James in the Bible. So the question is, which one is the human author of this book? Getting this part of it helps us to understand as we go through this book as to which James it was. He's only identified as in verse 1 as James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. But yet when you study the book and the things that are said and the historical parts of it, really, there's really only one that really it can be. It is one who was named James, who was also the half-brother of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you do understand, Mary and Joseph had other children after Jesus was born in Bethlehem. A lot of people may not realize that, but you go back and study the Word of God, you'll find that. And throughout, and especially we find James, and we'll refer to this as we go through it, but he was referred to many times in the book of Acts during the growth of the early church and the missionary journeys of Paul and so forth as he became on the scene. He was well known to the scattered believers, and you see that he writes to them in verse 1. You see also he was a leader of the Jerusalem church. A prominent figure. And the Jews regarded him as, get this now, the James. Now, some of you have names that are common in our day and culture. Wouldn't it be great if you were the one known as the, the Joe, the Gary, the John, the Doc, the Steve, the Marie, the Sue? You were the, you know. This was the James, the half-brother of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, which means he grew up in the same household. Now, brother, don't you think that's kind of tough to live up to your older half-brother, when you realize later on who he is? I can't imagine what that would be like. In fact, we find in the book of John, James, along with his other brothers, did not believe in Jesus as Lord until the end of Christ's earthly ministry, John chapter 7. So imagine this, you grow up in the same house, Mary and Joseph, and there's Jesus. And as he becomes along in his adult ministry, you begin to realize who he is. Maybe Mary and Joseph shared with James and their other brothers who he was. But don't you think it had to be just a little bit and probably a lot more disheartening to know that Jesus had those in his own household who didn't believe in him as the Son of God? That tells me something very important I want to drive home here tonight as we begin this study. Sometimes the most difficult people to reach are those in your own family. Sometimes those that you live with or who know you best or have known you the longest, if they're unbelievers or if they're not walking with the Lord, sometimes they may be the most difficult to reach. Think of this and be encouraged. The Lord Jesus Christ had his own half-brothers who didn't even believe who he was till nearly the time of the cross. This was one of them. But it was after the resurrection of Jesus. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 7, Paul tells us that James received a very special post-resurrection appearance by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. You can look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and see that. You can see that James was there at Pentecost. He was a leader of the Jerusalem church. In fact, when you go back and study church history, the Jewish historian Josephus records that James was one of the first martyrs in A.D. 62, as far as one of the disciples who would follow the Lord Jesus in death. Everything about this book suggests, with so many things that we'll look at as we go through this, and this is something you may not have read or studied, and it's fine. We didn't get it either, just sitting and just a casual reading. But when you study this book, everything about this epistle suggests that very likely the book of James was one of the very first books written in the New Testament, as far as time frame. Now, we think, because of the way our Bible's arranged, Matthew wrote his first, then Mark, then Luke, then John, and so forth and so forth and so forth. But the arrangement of our Bible and our English Bible as it's been arranged for us for centuries is not always arranged in chronological order as far as when it was written. So as we look at this, there are so many things about James will refer to even in verse 1 about the 12 tribes scattered. He will refer to so many Jewish teachings of Christ. He'll talk about the Lord's return. He'll even talk about the work of the early church, and he'll even talk about what these early Jewish believers were going through and their trials and their tribulations and their persecutions from the Roman government. But when we look at this, and as we look at this very first part, there's two words that I want you to keep in mind as we study through this book. And as we go through, you're going to see these two words sometimes used together, sometimes used to contrast with each other, and sometimes used to show how they work together with each other. And these two words are this: faith and works. Now get that again. Faith and works. The Apostle James, and you're going to have to help me now, because too many times it's easy to say Paul and Peter and John, okay? So you have to help me. But the Apostle James here gives us a great, great understanding of the importance of our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He will talk many times about our saving faith. He'll talk about our profession of faith as we live out our faith in our daily lives. But James also does something else for us. He reminds us of the importance that along with our faith, there must be a demonstration of that faith. It's not enough just to say, I'm a Christian. And I'm summarizing the theme of James right here. It's not enough just to say, I go to church, or I'm a member somewhere, or I attend somewhere. James tells us that along with that profession of faith, of living out your faith, along with the knowing that you're saved and going to heaven, that along with that, if you're truly saved, there is a demonstration of your faith that comes through your works. And he also makes very clear, you're not saved by your works, but your faith is justified, vilified, verified to others by what they see you do on the job, in your home, in the community, at school. They look at your Facebook postings, your Twitter feed. They see your attitudes and your language. And so James is telling us it's not enough just to go out and say, I'm saved. There has to be more than that. There has to be a works that goes along with your faith. So if we wanted to give a theme for the book of James, it's not just faith and works, but here it is. It's faith that works. Now mark that down. It's faith that works. We live in a culture and society today that is very critical. They're very skeptical. Can you blame them? There's so much going on in our world that causes people to question the very motives of many. We've got to show a lost, dying world that we who truly know the Lord Jesus Christ are going to live like it. In spite of opposition, in spite of difficulties, in spite of persecution. We're going to live out our faith no matter what. Isn't it interesting that this theme comes from one of the very first who would give his life as a martyr for the Lord Jesus Christ? So as we get into this book, as we share this, and know that I want you to look in verse 2, and I'll close with this tonight, because like I said, we can't get too much further into this. He says, "My brother, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations." The word divers is a word that means various or variety of. And when he uses the word temptations in this verse, he is not using it in the sense of temptations as in tempting you to sin. It is the same word that is we get the word, and I'll refer to this many times, the word testing. The word testing. Understand that God will never tempt you to sin. The holiness of God prohibits God from tempting you to sin. That's the devil's job. And that's what he's good at. But God will test you. And God will allow testing to come along in your life in a, as he said, divers or variety of ways. I don't know of anyone who has not been through some type of testing of some sort in their Christian life. It comes in various forms, does it not? We all do that. But what did James say? Count it all joy? How can you have joy in testing? That's what we're going to learn. That's what we're going to learn, and that's what James is going to share with us, that our faith that works is a faith that brings joy even in times of testing. I've often heard, and it's very likely could be very true, every Christian is either going through testing now, has just come through a time of testing, or you're getting ready to go into a time of testing. I'm not sure how you can have the research to back that up, but it's very likely true. It's very likely true. And sometimes we feel like we're the only one going through what we're going through, don't it? Because it's us. And it's our testing, and it's our difficulty, and it's our situation. But yet so many know exactly how you feel. Now you may not know exactly what everybody else feels, but there's somebody who knows how you feel. And there's one day you could look at somebody else and say, "I know how you feel, because I've been there." James says, count it all joy, because knowing this, that the trying of your faith, that is the testing of your faith, it works patience or produces patience. Some of us have a real hard time with patience, don't we? Be very careful. I think it was Jerry Falwell who said, "Don't make the mistake of praying for patience. You'll regret that prayer." There's only one way to have patience, and that's through testing and tribulations and trials. That's the only way to get patience. So don't pray for patience. But when you're in testings, pray that it does produce more patience than you had before. This is going to be a wonderful book. There's not very many chapters, just 5 short chapters. And we'll go through it piece by piece. And I pray that God will help us be strengthened in our faith that works. Let's pray together. Would you stand with me as we pray? Father, thank you for your word tonight. Thank you for the blessings of knowing that you are always at work in our lives. Whatever's happening and whatever we're going through, Father, is to produce a faith that works. I pray for my dear brothers and sisters who may be going through testing right now. They may not understand it. They may not see the light at the end of the tunnel. They may not even feel anything else except the load and the burden. Father, I just pray that we'll lift each other up as brothers and sisters in Christ, knowing that we all go through testing. We all go through various times of trials. And I pray that through our time of study of the Word of God, that we'll be encouraged, we'll be strengthened, we'll be blessed. And this I pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, Amen. Have a great week. We'll see you.